Well, if you take your Bibles again this evening and turn to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, it has been a joy to be with you all today. Obviously, the bonus blessing for us is that we get to be with our family, but it's great to be here in Manhattan and be with you all today. Thank you for your support of our ministry in Hong Kong. See, I'm looking for the clicker here. Ah, I see it right above my Bible. Great. We thank you for your support of our ministry in Hong Kong. The Lord has called us to. And just a little update. People always ask, how is it going there? What are the political pressures like? Do you have any hindrances to preaching the gospel? And the political pressure has been increasing, but there has not been a single change to the ministry there at Island Baptist Church that's been going on for several years. Our pastor has been there for 11 years. We moved there in 2020. We visited in 2019, and there were protests going on, and so there has been some new laws enacted. I'll just leave it at that since we are on live stream. And so there are some things that have changed, but for us, everything is still the same as far as being able to share the gospel, having our church services, passing out tracts, no hindrances in that way whatsoever. And so we're very thankful for what we believe is an open door to be able to share the gospel. And really, when we were looking at going to Hong Kong, we said this, we said, hope for Hong Kong and beyond. In other words, one of our opportunities at being in Hong Kong was to be able to reach out into other parts of Asia and really other parts of the world to try and be a help in sharing the gospel. And one of my burdens for a long time is that there is so much gospel witness in the U.S., which I am thankful for, that I was really burdened that there's a lot of need around the world. And we have a lot of places in the United States where there are all kinds of people, faithful people in the church, which is wonderful. But every once in a while, I just want to say, think about going elsewhere where there's not much going on. And the opportunities abound in Hong Kong and around that area. We have half of the world's population within a five-hour flight of Hong Kong. So you obviously have China right next door, okay, number one populated country in the world. We have India, very close, number two most populated country. U.S. is number three. Number four, most people don't realize, is Indonesia, which is very close as well. And then you start adding Japan and Thailand and Vietnam and the Philippines. And you've got a lot of people on that side of the world and a lot of opportunity. So we're very thankful to be there and be able to be reaching out in that part of the world. I mentioned this morning that when we were here in April for Nathan's ordination, I knew, and Tiffany knew, and Jonathan knew, that when we got back, it was going to be fast and furious as soon as we got back. And so when we got there, we were preparing to go to Singapore and Malaysia to help with a family camp at a church. It was a Singaporean church that went to Malaysia for their family camp. And then I did all the speaking for that conference for them. And then we got back and immediately started making preparations for our basketball camp and for our first overnight primary camp and overnight secondary age camp, so juniors and teens, the first one that we had run there in Hong Kong. And I can't remember if we were still praying about a new place when we were here or if we had already gotten a new place. No, not yet. So in that time, the Lord provided for us a new location for us to meet. We've been meeting for about 2.5 years in a location that we knew was too small for us. And we just moved. Our first Sunday was the first Sunday of August, which just happened to coincide with the day our camp started. So it was a wild time there. We had visitors to help us with camp. So we were hosting about 8 guests who were helping us with camp. Plus, we were finishing a basketball camp. Plus, we were getting ready for our first primary and youth camp. Plus, we were moving into a new building. And it was crazy times, but God got us through it. I was just going to show you a few pictures here, and I don't know which side I should stand on, maybe over this way is best. This is our new church facility here on the left. And I don't know if that was our first Sunday or not. It was one of our first Sundays. But it is already quite full. That happens sometimes. And we're very thankful. Down here in the bottom right is just some goofiness from some of the people that were there with us. Our two daughters were able to come help. And we had one, two, three, four other young men that came and helped. And then my brother Mark also was able to come and help with camp for that week. Up at the top right corner, we're actually setting out the songbooks for our first Sunday of church. We had to unbox them and find where everything was and get all that set out. We are on the 25th floor of a large building in downtown Hong Kong. And so if you ever want to look on Google Maps, type in Wan Chai, W-A-N-C-H-A-I, Wan Chai. And we are right in the heart of the downtown district there on Hong Kong Island. This was our basketball camp. This is our second basketball camp that we held. I don't know if you can't really see the shirts, but the title of our basketball camp is Skills Basketball Camp. And on the back of the shirts, it says Skills for Basketball and Skills for Life. And so the whole idea is we want to teach them basketball skills, but most importantly, we want to teach them what the Bible says about how they can live life skillfully for the glory of God. And if you know anything about the Old Testament word wisdom, that word has the idea of being skilled. And so we want to help young people become skilled in living life God's way. That obviously includes sharing the gospel, but then also helping them grow in their walk with the Lord. One great thing, let's see, I don't know how I can put, there's not a laser pointer on this thing, is there? There is. Center, okay. This boy right here, his name is Adam. His parents are from, is it New Zealand? Australia, okay. His family is from Australia. I had been doing some advertising about the camps on social media, and his mom messaged me and said, hey, we heard about this camp you're doing. We're interested, but we'd kind of like it, you know, we kind of like to be connected with the church. And I said, well, funny you should ask. I'm an assistant pastor at a church, and they live in kind of the same area we live. So they said, well, we'd like to come visit your church. I said, sure, come on. So they came and visited our church. Their son came to basketball camp, and then he also came to the primary overnight camp the next week, and their family has been attending our church ever since. And so, very excited about that. I don't have it pictured here, but there were only five young men in the 13 to 18 age group for basketball camp. I was a little disappointed. It's like, it's not too many. But two of those young men have been attending our church regularly. And their only introduction to the church was through the basketball camp. So I'm very thankful for that. Really appreciate Jonathan's impact there with those guys as well. He stayed in touch with them, and they've been attending pretty faithfully through that. So you can continue to pray for this opportunity. I don't know exactly how the Lord is going to use this. This year it was actually smaller than it was last year. There's several reasons for that were out of our control. But I just want to use our time and resources wisely with this. And I think there's still a lot more potential. But as you can see, even though it was a little bit smaller this year, the Lord still provided some really neat opportunities within our church from that basketball camp. See if I can go to the next one. Maybe I need to point it this way. There we go. This was our primary age youth camp. We only had 13. Again, I was a little disappointed in the amount, but I found out that a lot of parents are not quite comfortable and sending their children overnight. They're learning about us. But I can tell you this, every young person had a fabulous time at the camp. They told us that. Their parents told us that. One of the young men, let's see here. This is kind of fun. This young man right here, his parents are in our church, and they are from Russia. His dad is a pilot for Hong Kong Airlines, and he's from Russia. And then I think it's this young man right here. His mom is from Ukraine. So at one of the craft times, we have this boy from Russia talking to this boy whose mom is from Ukraine. They were talking in Russian to each other. And I was like, let's make sure they're not really talking about the war here, okay? But it's just fun to see the different connections. This family whose mom is from Ukraine, again, just found out about the camp through social media advertising. She was so excited to hear that Jonathan and I were going to Ukraine in a couple weeks. And so just thankful for these connections the Lord is allowing us to have. This is our group, both our staff and our primary age campers. One of the guys in our church designed that T-shirt for us, and thankful for his help with that. This is from the secondary age camp. My pastor and his wife up here, and then maybe you know my brother Mark. This is Samuel. Actually, Samuel was here, so they know Samuel, right? Good. Samuel actually came to Hong Kong pretty quickly after he was here with you all. So he helped us at the camp as well. Thankful for his help. Here we are playing Cat in the Hat. Some of you have played that game before. We had about 32 young people for our secondary age camp. And again, we've already heard from teenagers that had no connection to us at all who have told their mom and dad, we don't care what's going on next summer. We just have to make sure we can go back to camp. And so very, very excited for how well it went. I was extremely nervous about how this was going to go. Asian people can tend to be extremely cautious people. And so I was praying, Lord, please help there not to be any injuries at the camp, okay? Lord, please help them to have a good time. And everybody just had a wonderful time. And we saw at least a couple salvation decisions that we know of for sure. Many others that really just, this was brand new for all of them. All of them, there were about two of them that had been to the wilds before. But for most of them, this was brand new. And so just really thankful for the way the Lord allowed this to go. Very smooth, and we're looking forward to even seeing it grow next year. This was the entire senior high group, their secondary age group with our staff. You can see a lot of people know Hong Kong for the big buildings and busy city. There are also some very beautiful areas in Hong Kong. The camp facility was great. We'll use that place again, and I look forward to seeing how the Lord continues to grow that. We finished camp on Saturday, had church on Sunday, and then on Wednesday, Jonathan and I flew to Ukraine. And I had to submit a full syllabus for about 20 hours of teaching on worship and on music, and they translated it all into Ukrainian. And so we flew into Warsaw, Poland, and then drove from there across the border, and then drove to Kyiv or Kiev, which is how we usually say it, and worked with a pastor that I had been in school with at Bob Jones University. I think the Ukrainian independence was in maybe 1993, somewhere in there. And he came from Ukraine, former Soviet Union at that time. He and his friend came to the U.S. to attend school at Bob Jones University. They were on my hall. I was the hall leader or the RA on that hall. I got to know them, had not had contact with them hardly at all until I got here to Ukraine, and I stayed with his family. This is his church, where you see in the top right corner and then the bottom left corner. And what a joy to be able to work with him and serve with him. And this is the Bible college students here in the bottom right picture. There were about 50 of them, and that was the largest group they had for a while. And we really didn't know what to expect because with the uncertainty with travel, a lot of them are from more of the southeast area of Ukraine where a lot of the fighting is taking place. So really didn't know what to expect, and what a joy they were. They loved music. They loved singing. They loved the girls, really enjoyed Jonathan, okay? It was kind of funny. I was glad that most of them couldn't speak English, okay, so they couldn't get too interested in him. But we had a great time with these folks there in Ukraine. Even got to teach them four new songs that we had translated into Ukrainian. Some of you know His Robes for Mine. Some of you know Bow the Knee, a song I wrote for Me to Live as Christ, and then another one called Come My Soul with Every Care. Had those translated into Ukrainian. I taught them those at the start of each session. It was just a lot of fun to be with these folks. So you pray for the churches in Ukraine as God continues to work there. By the way, I mentioned about this photograph here. These are the people, this is as we were driving in on Sunday morning, these are the people waiting to get into the church for the service. They were there about 9:15 when Sunday school didn't start till 10, or the service didn't start till 10. And then this is inside of that building there. And here we are having classes in that same building Monday through Friday. Did I miss anything? I think I got it all. Whew. A lot going on. You can pray as we get back. Just a lot of things that we'd like to continue to keep growing in and seeking for wisdom and what to do next and how to continue to reach people there. I've got a brain-burning time that I'm planning to where I'm going to gather several people to say, okay, what are some things we can keep doing to reach out into the community here in Hong Kong? How can we best do that? How can we do camp better? This year, the camp was in English only. And so we've heard from some people that even though their kids know English, they're a little bit fearful about going to camp because they might get embarrassed if their English isn't good enough. Their English is usually very good. And so we've talked about, do we have a camp for Cantonese and English at the same time? Do we have separate camps? Just some things like that that we can seek the Lord's wisdom on. And pray for the ministry of our church. We have a lot of possibilities, and we're in our location. We just want to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us there. Acts chapter 2. This morning, we looked at what is up there on the screen. Sorry, it's off the screen just a little bit. But this morning, we talked about the community of believers and that these people were devoted believers. They were persecuted, but they were also devoted believers. And they were devoted to two things that we talked about this morning, teaching and fellowship. And we spent most of our time in those two things, that they were devoted believers to the teaching of God's Word and to the fellowship one with another. You know what's a great sign of a church? Is when people hang around and talk to each other after church. Right? We were in a church on deputation. I think this is the only church this happened. And we were sitting kind of about in this area in the church, maybe a little bit further back. And when the pastor said amen, we said a couple things to people right in front of us, and we turned around to greet people, and the church had emptied out. And everybody was gone. I was like, "What? Do I smell? You know, what's going on?" And it was just different, all right? And it doesn't mean it was a bad church. I have no idea, okay? They support us. They're wonderful people. But I actually told Tiffany, I said, there's no way this church is supporting us. I must have said something wrong, but they did support us. But that was unusual, thankfully. But I love when a church, there's a group of people, and they love spending time with each other. Now, please don't think that after the service, we're going to be taking notes of who stays here the longest, all right? You get special bonus points with Pastor Nathan. No, nothing like that, okay? But it's a great thing for we as believers to encourage each other and support each other as we fellowship together. Okay? But let's keep going tonight. We've got about 20 minutes. I'll try to be done hopefully a little bit before 7. Let's see next that we have not only their community of believers, persecuted believers, devoted believers, it was a community of growing believers. It was a community of growing believers. We see very clearly in the book of Acts that God is building His church. The church is growing. Look in our passage that we started in this morning already, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. It says in the last part of verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. In verse 31, chapter 9, verse 31, it says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were what? Multiplied. Notice here in this verse, we see really these two aspects of church growth, right? We've said this was a community of growing believers. Notice in verse 31, can you see kind of in the middle of the verse, there's a word there that means to build up. What is that word? Edified, right? So the people were edified. The churches, specifically these ones mentioned here, were being built up. So there was spiritual growth that was taking place. But then also, these churches were growing numerically. They were multiplied. God was adding to His church numerically. When my pastor and I in Hong Kong, when we pray together, we pray often, Lord, grow Your church both numerically and spiritually. Why would we be excited about the church growing numerically? Is that so I can write back to churches in the U.S. and say, hey, our church was such and such on this day, but now it's such and such. Whoa. Is that why? I sure hope not, right? Is it a sign of God's blessing when our church is bigger than another church? Yes or no? No, not necessarily. But let me ask you this. Is there any problem with the church growing numerically if we're doing it the right way? No. When we are adding to the church, it means people are being saved and baptized and added to the church. It means we are reaching out into the community. It means we are telling people about Jesus Christ. It means we're letting people know about our church. And so while numerical growth is not the ultimate goal, it isn't something we should be afraid of. I think sometimes we look and we say, well, you know, our church isn't growing, but that's just because we're just faithful people and, you know, we're just standing by the stuff and nobody wants to. Well, no, let's not think that way. Let's think, Lord, we have great opportunities around us. Let's see how we can share the gospel with people around us, with a Kansas State College that's close by and a military base that's close by and people that have lived here for all their life, and share the gospel, invite them to church, so that the church can grow numerically. But most importantly, right? Most importantly is that these believers are growing spiritually. And this is the idea of edifying. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. If you know your Acts chapter content, you know what's happening in Acts chapter 16, at least in a portion of it. Paul and Silas in jail. But in Acts chapter 16, verse 5, it says, and so were the churches established in the faith, or strengthened in the faith, and increased in number daily. Here's another example of both spiritual growth and numerical growth. It was a community of growing believers. I hope that as you come to church each Sunday, you don't just come looking to sit and soak. You come desiring for God to grow you and change you. That you would be different. Contentment is a wonderful thing in every area except your spiritual walk. We should not be content with where we are spiritually, because there's always areas we need to become more like Jesus Christ. Seek growth individually in your own spiritual walk, and then growing as a church spiritually. This next one goes right along with this, okay? There was a community of growing believers, but next it was a community, I've called it said it this way, it's a community of shining believers. Go back to Acts chapter 2. Go back to Acts chapter 2. And see if you can find out what phrase here in Acts 2:47 would make me say that they were a community of shining believers. 2:47, what phrase gives this idea that they were shining believers? I heard it. Yeah, they're having favor with all the people. The people in the community around were noticing something that was going on with this people. And we see this theme throughout the New Testament. this morning as we were in Sunday school, Nathan mentioned Matthew 5:16. Pastor Nathan, sorry. Mentioned Matthew 5. Was that disrespectful? I hope not. Okay, all right. Matthew 5:16. That we are to let our light so shine before men that they will see our good works and do what? Glorify our Father which is in heaven. I made note in my Bible next to Matthew 5:16 of Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. It says that you would be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as what? Lights in the world. Let me ask you a question. Do we live in a crooked and perverse nation? Yes. Yes. I mean, I drove by Target just the other day and was explaining to Jonathan. We've been in Hong Kong, right? It's kind of fun. I can say, I boycotted Target, right? I haven't been in a Target forever. Well, I've been in Hong Kong too, okay? But it's a little bit dishonest there. And he was like, what was the big deal? I told him what was going on. And I thought, I just can't ever imagine that some of these kinds of things that people are arguing about, we would argue about in America. I mean, every day it seems like you hear something and you're like, really? More crooked, more perverse, what is happening? And, you know, our Bible was written, you know, hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, and it's still getting worse, right? But as it gets darker, we have opportunity for our light to shine more brightly. That is our privilege. That is our opportunity to shine as a light in this world. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We had this verse actually as our memory verse in our church, either last month or a month before that. Colossians chapter 4, I think I said 3, excuse me. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Okay, outside the church, outside the faith, walk in wisdom towards those people, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. People outside that we have opportunity to shine our light to, take the opportunity to be a witness and a light to those people by how we act and what we say. We are to be a community of shining believers. This is why Jesus said in John 13, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have what? Love one for another. We demonstrate Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world by showing love. They were a community of shining believers. But next, we're getting towards the end, hang in there. It was a community of sending believers. Sending believers. Here we are at the start of the church age. These churches just beginning, and you know what they were doing? They were sending people out of the church to go minister other places. Who most famously were the churches sending out? Paul and Barnabas, right? This is the two that were the first ones to be sent out. In Acts chapter 11, we see Barnabas being sent out to Antioch. In Acts chapter 15, we see they choose and send out Paul and Barnabas. They also send these men, Silas, with them. They're sending people out of the church to go serve and minister to other churches and in other places. Your church does this by way of your missions giving. No question, right? That is a part of what is being done in sending people out. You can't go yourself, so you give so others can go. But can I just encourage you? It ought to be the goal of every church that they can even send out some of their own to go other places to serve and spread the gospel. That ought to be a desire. to say, you know what, who could it be? Who could it be that the Lord burdens and calls and we could send them out to another area or send them out to serve somewhere else? And you say, Pastor Matt, I mean, look around. There's not many of us here. So if we're sending people out, we're just shrinking our church. Remember, our church and the size of our church is not the big deal. Yes, we want God to grow our church, but most importantly, we want the universal church to grow as more and more people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your city, in a lot of ways, is very similar to Hong Kong. You say, what? What are you talking about? You have a lot of people that come through Manhattan for a short period of time. They can be very transitional through here, right? Transitional by way of the university, transitional by way of the military, these types of things. Same thing with Hong Kong. We have people coming in and out, and if you're not careful, that can be frustrating. How is our church supposed to grow? I mean, here we have these people here for 3 years, and they're such a huge part, and now they're gone. And yeah, that can be discouraging unless you think about it this way. We have that time with these people to help them grow, help prepare them to serve even better for where else God sends them. It's a great opportunity. We have it happening all the time at our church in Hong Kong, where people are coming in for a short time and moving out. We have people that are college students or university students that are in and out. We have people that come in to work for a little bit, and then they go back to their home country, and just a lot of moving. And God can use this church in Manhattan, Kansas, to be a real blessing to those people that are transitioning. And God can use this church to send out people to spread the gospel just as he did the early church. It's a part of what we should be doing and seeking for and praying, that God would raise people up out of this church to then go out and take the gospel to other places that have not heard, that don't have much gospel witness. One more. Nathan laughed at me when I told him about this one because he said, oh, you had to get that one in there, didn't you? A community of diverse believers. Now, the reason we laugh about it is because diversity has become a buzzword, right? It's been something that people use to excuse all kinds of things. But it's actually a really good word. And it's actually something that was taking place in the early church and something that we should not shy away from. And by using this word diverse, I'm simply wanting to show you that the church was made up of a variety. Tiffany's laughing at me. It's made up of a variety of people, a variety of backgrounds, a variety of social statuses, and all these people God was using to help grow his church. Give me some names of people in the book of Acts that we know very well. Just give me some names. Tell you what, let me take one name from the children. 13, 14, and how old are you? Oh, wow, okay, all right. 14 and younger. Give me one person that you know of from the book of Acts. Yes, sir? Peter, very good. We mentioned him this morning. He wasn't even in here this morning. Acts 2, right where we are. Peter has just preached, okay? Who else? Another famous one, 14 and under. Anybody else? Yes, sir. James is mentioned. Okay, not quite as famously, all right, but that's very good, very good. Who wrote many books in our New Testament? He wrote Philippians and Colossians and Galatians and Ephesians. Who said Paul? Yeah, Paul, very famous one in Acts. Okay, adults, what other famous people are in the book of Acts? Well, I heard one. Barnabas, right, we just mentioned him. Okay, how about Silas? He's there with Paul. Not quite as famous, all right? Yes, sir? Lydia's another good one, all right? Probably not nearly as famous as those other ones that we mentioned. And she was a lady, okay? Now, you ready? Listen to some of these other names. In chapter 1, verse 14, we have a very nondescript phrase where it says, several other women. Okay? We don't even have their names. We have Ananias, Judas, Silas that was mentioned, Tabitha, Simon, Cornelius, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, John Mark, Timothy, Lydia. We have the jailer that we don't even know his name. Dionysius, Damaris, Aquila and Priscilla, Titus, Justus Crispus, Apollos. Remember Apollos? I love that story. The guy was on fire, but he had some things that he was not quite right on. Who took him aside? Aquila and Priscilla. Just a couple in the church. They're like, hey, listen, you know, it's really good preaching, but you're way off on this. Let me help you with that. And he was able to be a blessing to people because of their kindness and their willingness to confront kindly. Aristarchus, Gaius of Derbe, Tychicus, Trophimus of the Asians, Philip the Evangelist, James we mentioned. These are all people that God was using in the church in the book of Acts. And most of them we don't know much about other than the fact that they were serving and being faithful in the church in the book of Acts. Here's what I want to encourage you with. Your skill set, your giftedness, most likely won't be the same as somebody else in the church. And if you allow that to discourage you and think you have nothing to offer to the church, then you are misunderstanding God's intention for you in the church. You may think you don't matter. You may think you're insignificant. But from Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and just the overall knowledge that we gain from the book of Acts is this. God uses all kinds of people with all kinds of gifts to serve in His church. What's the illustration that Paul uses in this area of giftedness in 1 Corinthians 12? What's the illustration? The body, right? Right? All the parts are needed. Oh, sure, some of them aren't as noticed, but they're all necessary. They're all needed in the church. So I love this about the book of Acts. And again, this wasn't anything that just jumped out and it said, oh, the church will be a diverse church. It's just as you read through the book, you see all these people from different walks of life with different abilities, different genders, male and female, that God is using in the church to be a blessing and reach people for Jesus Christ. You know, you don't have to be a preacher to be a significant part of what God is doing in the church. There's usually only one, maybe two, that are the pastors in the church. And guess what? They can't do it all. They shouldn't do it all. They need the church and the body of believers to come alongside and say, Lord, here's what I have to offer. I'm going to give it my best with what I have to offer. I'm going to serve in this way. I'm going to serve in this area. And God has gifted us differently to serve for His glory. So, don't be discouraged. If you think, I can't do that. Well, find what you can do and use it for the glory of God and serve Him in that way. I hope this is kind of like a drone view of the book of Acts, okay? We've kind of just flown over it and gotten a few things here and there. We haven't gone down to see what's going on right now, but we've just kind of gotten an overview of what was going on in the church in the book of Acts. And may God help us at our church, at Island Baptist Church. Matter of fact, I preached this at our church in Hong Kong. That God would help us at our church in Hong Kong and right here in Manhattan, Kansas, at Faith Baptist Church, that we would allow these things to be a part of what is going on here for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the exciting story of how You are building Your church. And Lord, You desire to continue to do that right now and today. I pray for each one here tonight. I thank You for their faithfulness, their willingness to come back on a Sunday night. And Lord, help each of us to find the way that we can serve and serve for Your glory. Help us to shine as lights in this dark world for Your name's sake. Lord, may You grow this church, both numerically and spiritually, for Your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Out and our eyes closed. We won't necessarily have a come forward invitation tonight, but I just would challenge all of us, think through those different categories, maybe some things from this morning that the Lord still is working in your heart, or even specifically tonight about being believers that are growing. I hope we're being edified through the ministry of the church, through the ministry from one another. I hope that we are shining before other people, before our neighbors, before our coworkers, before just people we run into in the store. And then even just thinking about, okay, am I using what the Lord has given me? Am I using that for His glory in the church? Let's take some time and just talk with the Lord here. The piano will play as we pray, but let's just each pray silently to the Lord and ask how He can use this message in our hearts.